If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking this morning at some select verses from the text here, verses 8 through 19. I'm actually going to back up and I begin reading at about verse 7. But a very poignant passage of Scripture that speaks about the diversity of this life that we live, the situations we may find ourselves in along life's pathway, the sundried choices of life and death that we may experience, nonetheless the things that give us hope, faith, meaning to go through all of them along the path. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse beginning at verse 6, page 1192 in your pew Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with the foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had not received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. And thus ends this reading of God's holy word. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the truth this word testifies to, stands forever. Let us pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, I do ask you to be with those here this day who hear your word, that they truly would have ears to be able to hear a truth that is the only comfort in this life. I pray for your guidance and blessing on my mouth as I speak forth that word. And may that word both comfort and challenge at the same time myself and each and every one who hears this message to a greater sense of faith in this life and in the life to come. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There was a little girl, about 3 years old or so. And she was at home with her father one night. It had been an impactful week for her. A grandfather that she had known, that had rubbed his scruffy whiskers against her little cheek and make her tickle and laugh. It had some strange service at the church, filled with people that were crying and flowers and any number of different things. And her parents had tried to explain certain things to her about a love that she would see again. A love that held her close here and now. And a love that she would be able to reflect back on even more in multiple ways throughout the years as she grew. But she didn't fully understand. And the father tried to say, well, there's things in this life that we experience that are going to happen that sometimes we don't expect and sometimes we do. And the little girl began to push and probe on that question. She said, Daddy, what sort of things can I expect in my life? When I grow up, am I going to get married? What's my husband going to be like? His father said, well, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that if you love Jesus, then when that day comes and I walk you down the aisle with my own tear, you'll be in the hands of someone who'll be leading you into a better life, leading you into a better land. And she said, well, I want to know. Deep down in the back of his father says it, I want to know too. I'm going to start praying for this guy right now. You're going to get my daughter. I want to know what sort of job I'm going to have when I grow up, Dad. I want to know what I'm going to be. Am I going to be a nurse? Am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be a stay-at-home mother? Am I going to be the President of the United States? What am I going to be? If I knew the future, I could start planning for it right now. Wouldn't that be great? Would it really be great to know all the twists and turns of this life? Would it be really great to know what the future holds in store for us? Wouldn't our life be so much more secure? Wouldn't our life just be so much placid if we just knew what tomorrow was going to have in store? Each of us has experiences that we could bring into that situation that may strike more closely or more abstractly to every one of us. Some of us may find ourselves in situations right now. I would love to know what 2018 looked like and beyond. And yet, I've learned this much in life. If I knew what next week held in store, let alone the next 3 years, I would have no sense of joy in the present and really peace and comfort. I'd be counting the days until whatever it was happened, happened. I'd miss the beauty of the moment. We laid many individuals to rest in our cemetery over the course of the last year. Some who I had a chance to walk very closely with over the years that I've been able to be here at Timber Ridge and be blessed by God to be her pastor. People whose conversations will forever leave an indelible mark in our hearts and minds. And some who I never even knew existed in this world until the moment I got a telephone call and they said, this individual has passed away. Or this individual is about to pass away. Will you come and speak with the family? And you do. You reach out into people's lives and you only get just a small little snippet of that life. And it leaves you wanting more. Wanting to know more about that person, about their families, about all the things that fall by on the wayside after. In the midst of life and death, we have tremendous joys. We have tremendous sadness. In the midst of relationships that go along with that, both those we may lose to death for a while, in those that we may still have here around us right now, but that nonetheless get strained and fractured as a result of death. We find ourselves with choices, and wouldn't you love to know how those things will work themselves out? Wouldn't you love to know where that word of comfort's going to come from? When the grief is going to turn from tears of sadness to tears of joy? When the friction and the tension that gets caught up in settling estates and doing those, when all that's going to dissipate and when we can get back to the progress and ministry of this life? When we reach a land of rest. By faith, Abram walked in this life. By faith, we walk in this life. And we know many of the things that happened to Abram because it's recorded for us in Scripture. And we know how the story is going to end because our Sunday school teacher told us, maybe even before we covered the beginning. But Abraham walked that step by step, moment by moment, emotional heartache by emotional heartache. Look at the ones recorded for us by the author of Hebrews. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, not knowing where he was going. By faith, God said, Abram, I know where you're at right now. You got your home, you got your family, you got your servants, you got your temp, you got your pagan gods. Go to the land that I'll show you. And I'll be with you as you go. And I'll make of you great people and a mighty nation. Well, that's easy to do, right? Naturally, I mean, again, voice of the Lord speaks to you and he says, go. And you just say, absolutely, Lord, I'm going to go. Every one of you has had moments as a child of God, if you are, where the Lord has called you to go, to do something. How much? How easy is it to go? Hard. Takes faith. Takes faith to believe that wherever it is that you are going to go, that God is going to be there. That whatever it is you're going to encounter next week, next month, next year, whatever it is, that God is there. Takes faith. But God gives challenges even amidst that, even as he's faithful to go. And Abram went and lived in a foreign land looking for something, looking for a spot to dwell with God. By faith, God made him a promise that his wife, who's barren, is going to receive a child through him, and that she would bear it. He as good as dead, she as good as dead, age-wise, figuratively speaking, would receive this blessing, this joy, this answer to a lifetime of prayers. Think of all those years of longing to have your own child. Longing, 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 and getting to the spot where you finally said, Lord, it's not going to happen. Give me something else to do in this life. Give me something else to do in this world, and then it happens. With the word of promise first, saying, believe, you will see. Believe and you will see. And Abram did. Not perfectly, with peaks and valleys for sure, but he believed. Sarah received a son. And all these promises, and all those like Abram in faith, receive certain tangible things in this life, certain down payments on the promises of God, certain pillars that you can point to along the way where we clearly see God at work, nevertheless, not fully receiving everything that's promised. Not fully receiving everything in this life, but living this life faithfully in light of the promises of God, in light of the things to come, knowing that he who promised is greater than this world's ability to stop it. That becomes most real and most profound as we move down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Though I through Isaac shall your offspring be named." Wouldn't it be nice to know the future? Abraham did. Wouldn't it be nice to have gotten that Sunday school lesson? By the way, Abraham, it's going to work out in the end. Isaac is going to marry the princess and they'll live happily ever after. So even though you're on page 87 of your adventure right now, page 215 says it works out good in the end. Put yourself on page 87 and think of the promises of God. God had moved mightily. In our case, over a couple of chapters in Scripture. In his case, over decades! Decades! Of this emotional struggle of believing the Word of God, of resting in the Word of God, of resting in His promises, of looking for the moments where it comes, sometimes orchestrating the moments to try to bring them out, but nonetheless, God faithfully bringing about those moments, holding it, cherishing it, wrapping it in your arms, believing in the promises of God, only to have the voice say, "Take him and kill him." Excuse me, God? You want me to do what? You want me to do what? Aren't you the one who said, "Believe me and I'll give you this child"? Aren't you the one who said, "Go and I went"? Aren't you the one who I sang praise to when I held him in my lap? And now you're saying, "Kill him"? Any one of us put ourselves in that shoes will have any host of human emotions. And I'm sure Abraham had some of them as well. But we see Abram hear the word of God and follow through. Not knowing the future, following through. Loading up the donkey, taking his servants, heading out to the mountain, carrying the wood, putting it on his son's back, leaving his servants behind, walking up on the mountain, knowing what it is that he's been called to do, and thinking about every one of those blessed moments along life's pathway, from when Isaac maybe said his first word, took his first steps, knowing what it was that God had asked him to do. Fathers, on this Father's Day, how easy would that be for you to do? I can speak as a father. Dearest Jesus, I couldn't do it. Be so hard. You've promised me this, and it's here, and it's here. And you want me to do what? In the text of Hebrews, it goes even beyond what Genesis tells us about this event. And the author says this, that Abram had such faith that he believed that even if God intended for him to actually do this, that even if the knife were to have been plunged into his son's chest, that even if according to this physical life and the rules of this physical life, he actually offered up Isaac, even if he did that, God's promise would stand, and that God would be able to bring this child back, because he knew that this was the child. He knew that this was the one. And while God's plan doesn't make any sense to me in this moment, any sense in my circumstances, I will live by faith. It takes an incredible amount of faith, doesn't it? You know what else it takes an incredible amount of faith to see and believe? There was a tomb in Galilee, Jerusalem, that was emptied 3 days after a dead man was laid in it. And it takes faith to believe that that man was not simply a great magician or a great voodoo Hindu, you know, practice that had some sort of medical thing that he was able to do. That that man was in fact God himself. That that man was the Messiah. That that man is right here, right now, for every one of us here, the only hope for life after death in this world. It takes faith. It takes faith to lay our loved ones into the ground and say to ourselves, I know that this grave is being opened on the last day, and that breath that was once in that body will be again. It takes faith. It takes faith to move you past that period of grief, even as your head and all your theology tells you this truth, and you go through those moments when Art's not there in the morning, when a little baby you were hoping to be born in the future is suddenly told is going to be stillborn and taken away from you. When your loved one that you watched go through all sorts of pain and suffering in this life and deterioration of their body, we know that what we had in this life was but a small down payment on relationships that go beyond. It takes faith. It takes faith to grieve. The movie Courageous, one of the most powerful lines, I think, in the whole movie, was this: a man who was dealing with the death of his young child. He had just a tremendous amount of pain in his life about all the things that he missed. About this little girl that he wasn't going to be able to walk down the aisle, and this little girl that he wasn't going to see graduate from college, and this little girl that wasn't going to give him grandchildren, and this little girl that he wasn't going to have around. And it left just such a hole in his heart, and he worked with his counselor, and his pastor just kept speaking words to him, and he was angry, and he was hurt, and he was bitter. One line comes, you got your choice. You can choose to be angry with God for all the years that He didn't give you with her, or you can choose to be thankful with God for all the years that He did. Take your pick. As the plot unfolds, that sentence has to seep into that man's life in very real and very profound ways. As it seeps into our own, what does that word of comfort speak to us? I think it speaks hope. I think it speaks hope beyond hope. I think it tells us that whatever it is that we experience in this life, in the cemetery, in the aftermath of death, that there is hope. That the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not somewhere away from the fire, but that He is in the fire with His servants. That the God of Daniel is not outside the lion's den, hoping he's going to be okay, but in it. That the God of Abram, who told him to pick up and go, and told him to do this, was going to be there, and that His word was validated. That the God of Joseph, who by faith continued to live in a foreign land and do things that weren't beyond His measure, that He was there in prison in Potiphar's house as He sat in the good times of favor, that God was there. The Savior who stood on the shores of the Sea of Galilee said, come ye and I'll make you fishers of men. The one, as He was about to send up, who says, go into all this world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yea, I will be with you always. Always. The very end of the age. It takes faith to believe that. Is that your faith? I love Homecoming Sunday, and I don't like Homecoming Sunday. Why? It's a great crowd. I wish I had this every single Sunday, and I know that many of you are in other churches in our community and beyond, and it's a powerful testimony to me that God is at work in this world. Praise God! But I also know that in an assembly such as this, there are some in this room that'll walk with God for this Sunday, and you won't be there next week. That one of the reasons why you're here is because of somebody that meant a lot to you out there. That's a great thing. It's great to love our family. But if that's the only reason why you're here, you've missed the boat. The only reason why you came this Sunday is because great-grandfather is a flower on his cemetery plot. You've missed the reason why there was a cemetery plot in the first place. All around you is a witness of life and death. Before you is life and death. I will look on the Lord in the land of the living. Beloved, look on the Lord very poignantly here, now, in your own heart, and in this world, and see Him comforting your griefs, challenging your devotion, and leading you to green pastures and still waters, even if there's rapids along the way. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, I do thank You for the hearts of all of those that You've brought forth this day to remember our loved ones, to think about things eternal, to fellowship with joy, and to be found longing for more in this life. May Your word of promise, may Your word of faith, may Your word, dearest Heavenly Father, of hope beyond hope, be a word that speaks mightily to those You've gathered here this day. And may they live a life worthy of the calling with which they've been called, in the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask this through the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our closing hymn today will be hymn number 41. And I know some of the ladies are heading across the street to get some of the food that's ready. So we will sing the first, second, and last verse of hymn 41. And I'm going to have a special blessing of the fathers before our benediction. Please rise and let us praise our Lord in hymn 41, One Day, verses 1, 2, and 5.